It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm BJ Austin. The corny dogs are sizzling and Big Tech is saying howdy once again. Today is the first day of the 2016 State Fair of Texas. State Fair spokeswoman Carissa Condianus says fairgoers should plan to stay late.
Every night we have a parade. This year, except for tonight, but every other night, the Budweiser Clydesdales are back, and they're going to be in that nightly parade. And then immediately following that, we have the Illumination Sensation, which is all the fireworks, and it's been enhanced this year. So those are something I think that a lot of people should stick around and enjoy, because the fair after dark is pretty incredible.
A crew of KERA reporters and producers spent the day at the fair capturing the sounds and scenes, and here's a sampling.
My name is Madison Wooler. I'm from Liberty Hill, Texas. Well, I'm going to show a pig in the guilt show.
I'm Joni Harrell, and I'm from Kingsville, Texas. And I am most excited about seeing the quilt because I have a square on there.
I'm Nathaniel Schell, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. In line for our Fletcher's Corny Dog, the first ones out of the oil are always the best on the first day.
Hot dogs, pizza, cold drinks.
My name is Deborah James. I'm formerly from Philadelphia. I moved here 20 years ago. I keep forgetting that. I love the trying out of the food. I'm not going to eat as much. I was 200 pounds. Now I'm down to 140. And I don't intend to eat like I used to eat. But I am going to get this cheese thing wrapped in bacon. And I'm only going to eat half, and I'm going to give it away.
Art and Seek's Hadi Mawagdi reports that the main attraction this weekend at the fair may be a Cotton Bowl showdown. Not football, but a battle of the bands.
On Saturday afternoon, the Grambling State Tigers will face off against the Prairie View A&M Panthers. And it's the 30th time that these two teams have met at the annual State Fair Classic football game.
Unlike the OU Texas Red River Shootout, where it can get quite mean-spirited at times, I would say this is more of a friendly rivalry.
That's Professor Kenyatta Cavill of Texas Southern University. TSU is the only school in the nation that teaches a course on the history of sports at historically black colleges and universities.
I think these rivalry games mean everything. I mean, you're talking about schools that started as the only place that African Americans in this country could get a higher education.
And one of this game's most celebrated traditions has nothing to do with the pigskin. It's a battle between the world-famous Grambling State Band and the Prairie View Marching Storm.
We entertain from top to bottom of the show. We're there to make sure that you don't get a hot dog at halftime.
That's Tim Zachary, head of bands at Prairie View A&M. He's directed bands in the HBCU system for more than a decade. He's also directed bands in Division I programs. The two experiences are pretty different.
I guess that's like watching a jazz band versus watching a symphony. We're more along the jukebox side. With that being said, we have some phenomenal musicians in all of our programs as well.
If you don't believe them, go to YouTube. On the site, you can find hundreds of videos with thousands of views of HBCU bands performing songs from Kanye West to Earth, Wind, and Fire. Again, Zachary.
Win, lose, or draw with the football team, and we love them to death. The bands are going to go at it no matter what. If your record was 0-1 or 10-1, it's the same fight for us. It's all about the bragging rights.
And we'll see how things play out. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Kirsten Childs is a composer lyricist who spotted a full-figured woman walking on the street and men stopping to stare. Childs figured there was a musical comedy in this black woman's power to stop men in their tracks. KERA's Jerome Weeks talked with Child about that musical, Bella, an American Tall Tale, which is premiering at the Dallas Theater Center.
Kirsten Childs, welcome.
Thank you.
Bella, your new musical, is in the tradition of the tall tale, like Paul Bunyan. I understand you were inspired by seeing a full-figured black woman. So how did you get from seeing her to creating a tall tale of the Old West?
Well, I'm on a mission to create musical theater for people of color, and I was sort of looking for my next project. And I happened to be walking to my apartment behind this couple, and she was a very Zoftic woman who had a very, very big behind. And I observed this phenomenon that just really knocked me out. Every man, and I mean every single man, stopped, turned, and looked at this woman's behind. So it was so amazing to me because clearly there was a power in the way that she looked. And I thought, I want to create something about this. So I thought, well, she has a larger-than-life figure. She's a larger-than-life person. So a larger-than-life story is an American tall tale. And then, because most American tall tales are set in the Old West, I want to write it about the Old West, but I want my heroine to be this woman, a woman of color with a big behind.
The tradition of the tall tale is comic exaggeration. How silly did you and your director want to go with this?
Well, I can't really speak for my director, but I wanted to be as silly as possible. But also, we're dealing with some serious issues, you know. There were a lot of obstacles. All sorts of people of color had to overcome or weren't able to overcome. So I wanted to give that the weight that it deserved to have. However, my director, Robert O'Hara, he's an African-American playwright who writes wildly acerbic, witty, serious plays. And I knew that his sensibility would be perfect for directing Bella.
So Bella has this very big behind. But for black women, that's long been the target of racial mockery. You're spoofing that stereotype, but were you concerned with people taking offense?
You know, that is something that I actually considered when I was writing it, because, you know, women's bodies have been objectified forever. But the way that I am working with this, I'm sort of subverting that, and I also am using it as a symbol of power. And how she uses it is in a very powerful way. And I think there's a little tongue-in-cheek, a little wink to the people who, you know, have dealt with these kinds of issues before. I think they will understand what I'm trying to do.
Bella is on board a train headed west, and so she encounters all sorts of outlandish characters. Are they intended as satire?
I think basically when I started to write this, it was just for the sheer enjoyment of bringing these characters to life. And I think in the back of my head always was, if you came to see the show, whether or not you were offended, whether or not you were delighted, you would want to know something more about the history. That's really all. I really wrote it for my personal enjoyment and for creating something for people of color that was not just a musical review or the all-black version of a white show, but for the actors to inhabit their characters and actually do what for so long they have not been able to do. That really was my objective. Whether somebody is offended by what I wrote or if they're delighted by it, I'm happy either way because there's a conversation that's going to be started.
Well, Kirsten Childs, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me here.
Bella, an American Tall Tale, runs at the Dallas Theater Center through October 22nd. Great State Fair weekend, Saturday and Sunday, sunny with highs in the 80s, and same thing to start the work week on Monday. Then Tuesday night and Wednesday, we see the chance of rain rolled in, highs continuing in the 80s. Right now, 79 degrees in Dallas, 78 in Fort Worth and Denton. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.